Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the podcast powered by Hobbs.
And hello and welcome once again to our podcast on our Bits and Pieces group. So today I am joined by Martin Dixon from Leeds Bits. So say hi, Martin.
Hello, Martin. No, you didn't mean that, did you? Hello, Dave. I'm nice to be here. Yeah.
Welcome. Thank you for joining me. So for those who don't know Martin works for Leeds Bid. So I suppose the starting point is, Martin, just can you give me a bit of a background into where you started and where you are now?
Yeah, sure. So Leeds Bid stands for Business Improvement District. We're one of 330 business improvement districts in the UK. And we've been coming on for 10 years now in Leeds City Centre. I suppose the one peculiarity about us different to all the other bids in the sector nationally is we are physically the largest. So we are the whole of Leeds City Centre. And that incorporates 800 businesses who fund us via a levy, bringing £2.4 million a year into us as a team, which we spend back on bringing people to the city centre, to put it simply. That's kind of what our purpose is. We're a not-for-profit ourselves, so the money that we spend on activities and animations and events and also cleaning and helping support those services to make the city centre a more friendly and welcome place is all spent in a not-for-profit way. So what that means is we will put a couple hundred thousand to a project to bring people into the city centre, and the return on that investment is actually the increase we see in footfall and spend in shops, cafes, car parks. We don't have to bring that money back ourselves as a company. We're entrusted that money to bring benefit to the businesses and the city centre. And the other element of what we do as the bid is to therefore promote the Leeds city centre as a destination for people to visit and enjoy themselves and experience something a bit different. And also for the commuters and workers in those 800 businesses who come in and out of the city centre daily. So yeah, that's kind of the purpose of us as a company. And indeed all bids across the country. But of course, the sector, whilst a sector of 330 business improvement districts, is quite different because we're all then unique. So some bids will be a quite small town or a couple of high street areas in a smaller city, whereas we're, as I say, the whole city centre. And that gives us another objective, which is playing our part in, I suppose, promoting brand leads further afield, which indeed we see with some of the tourists and some of the visitors who will come to some of the bigger animations that we do in the city.
Cool. So, I mean, that was sounds incredibly exciting. We're going to cover a few bits of what we're doing on that in a minute. How did you get involved in that?
I couldn't find another job. No. It was a charity thing. They just felt sorry for me. No, I think the honest way to answer that is sort of twofold, directly and indirectly. Directly, I was at an organization in the city, which is called Leeds City College. So it's the big FE college, where I'd been the director of marketing for some years. And I was part of very much the city's network, therefore, and what they were looking for when they created the team. I'm one of two directors at the bid, and we have a chief exec and then a team of 12 underneath us. They were looking for people in fairly senior positions who understood this city center. And when you work in somewhere like the large FE college, you really do interact with the city quite in depth, and particularly it's younger people and then 3,500 staff who all live and work in the city. So that was the sort of direct reason I was approached about this job. And the bid was a new creation 9 years ago. So Leeds didn't have one before. We were, in fact, the last major city pretty much in the country to go for a bid, which gave us lots of good and bad practice to look at. So that was why I was directly got involved. And indirectly, I, like all the other sort of 12, 13 of us, were assembled with diversity of background in mind. So we are all from very different career paths and different organizations, because we do have a very broad remit, which, you know, on any one day, for example, my colleague, Karen, my other half at work, came to work for the bid from a senior role at the council. Because Karen is talking to the police and the town centre management from the council, liaising on public safety and public cleanliness matters, whereas I come from a more creative background and I'm coming up with the latest animation event with some of my team And so I guess we were all brought from a very different set of backgrounds. And my background, particularly really quickly, started in music, worked in promotions and marketing for EMI and Virgin Records for 14 years, then went into marketing more core at the City College. And so that now that involved both private and public sector work, and therefore now this. So, yeah, and I'm not, I won't go, obviously, into a description about everybody. But, yeah, the team is fairly different. We're all fairly diverse collectively. So I was very lucky to get a job. It's a marvellous job, and we are all very lucky to do what we do. But, yeah, varied backgrounds would be the easy way of describing it.
Yeah, I suppose, sort of from my point of view, when we first started, you know, chatting about you on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I see it a lot of the time, because obviously we work in the bid industry.
When we started, Dave, literally in the first 6 months, Leeds bid, and every single person just said, "All right, what are you bidding for?" And we're like, no, it's actually nothing. It's actually business improvement. Like, yeah, it is. Doesn't happen so often now, because we've been going for 9 years. But no, it's a very, it's a clipped term, isn't it? We're always doing it in life, these little shortened abbreviations. But actually, as soon as you say it out long form, business improvement district, it's a rubbish old one to use, isn't it? But it's a real Ron Seal moment. I mean, those three words actually perfectly describe what we do. We are here to improve a broadly speaking business district, because we're not just paid levy by what people would think of as businesses, as in shops, hotels, restaurants, things like the big professional services clients we have in PwC, KPMG. So the business word, maybe you need to think of slightly broader, because we also have, you know, levy coming in from the theatres, the cinemas, the college and uni venues, the music venues. So it really is cross-sector. But yeah, our basic bottom line is to improve the business income and attention and attraction in that defined district, which in our case is LS1, the city centre. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, looking at that, you know, I know some of the listeners were saying, well, you know, what's the relevant sort of, you know, talk to you about this? And for me, it was a little bit about, we have a lot of companies that listen to the podcast that will actually tender for work, if you like.
Yeah.
To help the local communities to
absolutely.
You know, regenerate the city centres.
Yeah.
So I'm presuming you get involved quite heavily in that. Would I be?
Absolutely. I mean, you yourselves represent a supplier for a number of different things in terms of our bigger and smaller projects. Really great working with you guys and supply from you guys. But yeah, similarly, we've got probably any 1 week, we'll probably have 5 or 6 at least external suppliers. Everything from cleaning and technical solutions and mechanical solutions for some of our vehicles. And we have a street ranger team who are basically cleaning the streets, cleaning the city centre every day, both for clients at their buildings and generally around the high street, just making the place look better. So the suppliers support the rangers, and all the way across to the creative team under me, you know, posters, laminates, display materials, different assets that we need for different projects. And then we have, you know, 2 or 3 companies who do that middle ground, if you like, between those things, on retainer for PR and communications and software and films and that kind of thing, all based, if we can, all based in that bid zone or close to it or in some way connected to it, because that means we're also spending the levy. We're almost getting two hits for one from the money. We're being paid the money to run the activation to improve the business levels in the city centre, but then giving some of that back to some of those businesses in the city centre. And probably at that point, Dave, just as a quick sort of, again, picture of bids, what we are is funded by 800 businesses, but what we don't do is only bring the benefit back to them, because that wouldn't be holistic. So the simple example is of the shops on the main high street in Briggate, probably a third of them are levy payers and 2/3 not. But when the guys clean the streets, the street rangers, they don't just clean outside the levy payers, because that wouldn't improve the city centre. So the best possible way of describing it is in a natty little line is we are exclusive in some way to our levy payers, but we're not excluding. Mm. So certain events we will do specifically for levy payers to come and meet us and hear about what we're doing and, you know, understand what we're doing with their money. But at the same time, with the street rangers clean the whole of the city centre, the big animations we put around on everybody benefits. So again, conscious always of not bringing politics into a nice conversation that spoils it then. But with a small s, I think another way that we like to try and explain a bit is it is actually quite a good model of socialism in action, as in the bigger organisations who have more money and can more easily afford to pay, but everybody benefits. So 800 levy payers, 2,500 other businesses in the same bid zone who don't pay us a penny, but everybody benefits.
Everybody benefits.
I think that's an important mechanic of bids if you get it right.
Yeah.
And the final thing while on the stats, because I'm sure people will find this interesting, and we're always keen to tell more of a story because we're still quite an under the radar sector. If you optimize our 800 levy payers across the 2.4 million, the average per annum payment for a levy payer is just short of $5,000 a year.
Mm.
And again, to quantify that, if you hired the street ranger team for a morning to come and clean your car park or whatever, commercial hire team like that with jet washers and cleaning panels and whatever, probably $1,800, $2,000 for one visit. Now, we have businesses, sadly, that have to call them out every morning to clean the shop doorways from rough sleepers and things like that before. You couldn't afford that for very long, and we just do it every time you call us. So, yeah, financially, it does work out if we get it right. Yeah.
Cool. So sort of just touching on, you said you were running events. And
yeah.
I want to bring it up because it looked really cool.
Thank you. You've
just done the Monopoly.
We have.
It's ongoing at the moment.
It's ongoing, yeah. Yeah.
So what is it? What's it for? What are you trying to achieve with it?
And I should, obviously, it would be rude of me not to, Dave. And Hobbs obviously have played a part in bringing this together for us and made some very lovely things for us. So Monopoly, the Leeds takeover, is the official word. Easy to describe, and honestly, it is about, younger people would call it a scavenger hunt and older people would call it a treasure hunt. But what it's about is summer holiday. Parents, grandparents have to juggle kids. Everyone needs help looking after the kids.
Yeah.
So what better thing to do than create a fun, interactive animation where you can come into the city centre and enjoy yourself for a day in terms of our theme and trail for free. You spend what you like when you're here. That's us doing our job, but it doesn't cost you to do Monopoly. It's free. And it will walk you around the city centre. It will take you into shopping centres. It will take you to little places you might not even know about in the city centre. So it's an experience that's enjoyable and fun. There's little challenges to do in certain locations. You can find 8 giant-sized tokens, the top hat, the dog, the car, the battleship, and you will interact with this trail as you play it. There is a map, it's free, digital version. And the idea is to bring people into town to enjoy themselves, help people juggle the kids and grandkids in the summer holiday for free, and get a value, just get an enjoyment out of that, which I think is sometimes lost in life. It is okay just to have fun and just do nice things. That's the trail. It's about football. It runs for 5 weeks through the school holiday, so we're a week and a bit in now. We printed 120,000 trail maps, and we've already got rid of close to 45,000, and just every day there's people doing it. It's brilliant. But the shops, the car parks, the cafes, the restaurants are already telling us they're up. It's doing the business job as well. And that's one of the biggest things we will do. We will have that big five-week thing. In previous years, a couple of years ago, we did a giant dinosaur trail, similarly 12 giant animatronic dinosaurs. So yeah, it's about bringing people in, bringing people from further afield for a fun day out, and perhaps bringing, obviously, all the locals, but bringing people from further afield, which again, we know happens from the research we do. And I suppose why did we pick Monopoly? Again, just as it might win a pub quiz for all of your listeners one day, the British version of Monopoly was invented by Waddington's Games in this fine city of Leeds in 1932. So that is one of those stories about a city. It's one of those brand Leeds things. Probably the most famous board game in the world this city can claim as creating. I mean, that's pretty major. So that's also why we chose Monopoly.
Yeah, I'm going to have to bear that one in mind because at some point in the next 10 years or so, that is definitely going to come up as a quiz question.
It definitely is. And if you want to be even more clever, it originates from a game that was invented in New York in the 1920s called the landlord's game. Dave, no one except us in this private conversation is going to ever know that, okay?
Us in the few thousand.
Oh, I forgot them.
I love it. So obviously, you're built on interaction. You're built on the community.
Yeah.
You know, paying that level. I mean, is that a voluntary level or is that a certain type of company?
It's done on a rateable value, Dave. So each bid does this. The mechanics, the rules and regulations say that you set a rateable value that you deem to be fair and average to the scale of your business array in your identified zone. So our rateable value is £60,000 a year. So everyone then above that within the defined area pays the levy at 1.25% of that. But people during the year will drop in and out. We have a lot of businesses who are at 61,000 and they'll suddenly drop down when the business rates are reviewed. In terms of democracy, it's absolute, as in every 5 years, and we're doing it later this year for the second time, we have to go to our levy payers and ask them to vote yes or no.
Yeah.
Simple yes or no. Fortunately, in 2019, when we did this from term one to term two, the 94% voted yes. Thank you very much. Again, without sounding silly, if we're doing a decent job, they should vote yes. It's fairly obvious. And if we're doing a rubbish job, they'll vote no. But this year, we're already surveying and obviously in constant conversation with them. So we're pretty confident we'll get another good yes vote. But if you do vote no and the majority votes yes, you are legally obliged to continue to pay the levy for the following 5 years. The only way out of it is, unfortunately, would be to go bust. And so it's quite binding, but somehow you feel fairer with that if this vast majority have said yes. And without being too personal, you usually find that we only had 8 out of 720 voters out of 800 or something like that. It was massive, who voted no. And they were particular types of business.
Yeah.
Smaller, independent. So, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that these events that you run, you're always looking for inspiration. You're always looking for people to give you ideas. And I suppose you want that feedback.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah.
How do you go around getting that?
So I suppose it's three particularly broad ways, or three main ways. When we do all of these physical animations, we employ a company with physical researchers who, for the first, usually if it's running from a weekend, we'll start on the first weekend and run through to the following weekend, who will wander the animation. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, they are going to be working their way around each of these giant tokens, which are all sort of hubs in the game as you go around them. So they will ask you, me, families, people, the questions, very simple questions. Hi, that's where you're from. Are you here to do this? Did you come into town for this, or were you here anyway? Can I ask you where you parked? Would you mind giving me an idea if you've been out for lunch? So they'll do about 400 people like that, really. And then they will plug that into a very clever algorithm that at the moment the accepted sort of animation events standard model is called SusTrip. And this thing will calculate that for every family of 4, 2 adults, 2 kids, like the family they actually interviewed, there would be another 2,000 or 3,000 like that demographically. Yeah. And so that's how we end up with pretty good evaluation of visitor numbers, visitor type, demographic range, spend, and all that kind of thing. So that's really good data to feed back to the levy payers and our board, and also helps us think about the next thing and what to tweak and what to move. The second way is the perennial favourite, the constant barometer of opinion, good or bad, that is social media. Yes. And I would like to avoid certain subjects as we speak today on August the 6th with what's terribly going on at the moment. Mm-hmm. But the social media barometer, if done right, and we're fairly open, we encourage and look for that dialogue with the visitors by creating specific social media. So Monopoly Leeds Takeover has its own social media. And therefore, we can ask people questions, not just look at the comments.
Yeah.
And the third thing is the businesses, Dave. So classic example is something, a food court called Trinity Kitchen in the main shopping centre. And obviously, we know all the managers and all the shopping centre managers really well. So we just ask them for literally a weekly update as we're running these things. And for example, after the first week, one of them is telling us they're 30% up on the same day last year. So you get that kind of real business literacy, particularly from the food and hospitality and retail. So they're the three measures, direct, calculated up. And the one that therefore I can give you from two summers ago, because we didn't actually do something singularly last summer. We were part of a collaborative thing with the council and the hospital here for a children's charity called We're Going on a Bear Hunt after the famous children's storybook. So it's summer 22, we did the Jurassic Trail. And we had just shy of 500,000 people who came into the city centre during the 5 weeks and spent £3.3 million, none of which would have happened from that research. And that's pretty powerful. So, yeah, yay for us.
I never really understood exactly what a bid did. And it's actually eye-opening to see that
it says the
difference you can make honestly, just by doing something right.
Yeah. And probably, Dave, to be fair, I was exactly the same, by the way, when I was back at the college 9 years ago, and somebody approached me who was involved with setting it up and said, you should have a look at this. So I hadn't heard of bids. But I think you're right. The thing is, the not-for-profit thing massively helps.
Yeah.
So me and the team are employed to think of these ideas, manage these ideas, implement these ideas. It's not like we're in a day job and the company and the board decide they want a bit extra on top, so they put it on top of, and you need to go and find new customers. We're actually fully employed and fully funded to do this work. And I think that's the benefit of a bid. So I can work with you, I can work with John Lewis, and I can work with Leeds University. Well, how many businesses, how many worlds do that? We can sit 12 people around a table who are all important businesses in our city centre, but they wouldn't normally sit together or have anything to do with each other.
Yeah.
And we can be that kind of glue, that kind of broker.
To a lot of collaboration.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And of course, they trust us because they know we're not chasing profit. They know we're not chasing politics or anything like public sector, and they're all giving us their money to a different level. So they entrust us with this cash, but they know that we are absolutely independent. To them all, we're just in the middle of them all. Yeah.
So looking at obviously we've done monopolies. Am I allowed to ask what's coming up later in the year?
You can do. You can do. I'm always told off by my team for oversharing, but I don't care. I think it's exciting for people to get little tidbits. We have a completely different project that is in its fourth year this early October coming back, which we call Leeds International Festival of Ideas. So this is a 10 events over 4 days at Leeds Playhouse. And it brings together 35 amazing speakers who run a series of panel and keynote events where we take on really with the public in conversation in the theatre spaces over 4 days, some of the big issues of today that we're all talking about at home and at work. And this year we're looking at addiction, we're looking at neurodiversity, we're looking at TV, reality TV and how it rules our lives. And we're also looking at food and health with Professor Tim Spector, who's like the big gut guy at the moment. So we've got the music legend that is Nile Rodgers, who's coming to do a keynote all about his creative journey and how music happens. And we've also got the totally Marmite character, which I'm really looking forward to, of Carol Vorderman, who you either love or you hate. But you know what? That's why it'll be a good event. Carol will be doing with a younger than musician that some people will have heard of, and everyone called Rebecca Lucy Taylor, whose stage name is Self Esteem. They're in like a double header conversation about perhaps how far we've still got to travel in terms of male female sort of balance in business, music, media, that kind of thing. But four of these events have sold out, so you can't get tickets to them. But six have still got some tickets left. 80% sold, folks. Check it out. But that's kind of a big one as well, Dave. And shows the reason I mentioned that is it's the next thing after Monopoly. But just to give people an idea of the range again of variety of things. So that's really quite different than Monopoly. Mm. And I think the portfolio of us as a company is really varied. And we do get it right in that variety. But the LIFFY, as we call it, Leeds International Festival, is really our contribution to the place marketing of Leeds. So, hopefully people look at Leeds a bit differently, including the speakers, particularly the celebrities and the agents that chatter about it. We had that last year from a few of the... We had Ruby Wax, Stephen Bartlett. We had Christopher Eccleston, the actor, last year, and they were all brilliant. Davina McCall, they were tweeting after it, and this is great. Leeds has got it going on. So that's kind of what LIFFY's about. And then the final thing, just to mention quickly, because it was a big success last Christmas, was we put the biggest outdoor light projection the UK's seen ever for 9 nights on the front of the Queen's Hotel. And it was a 9-minute Christmas story. The Queen's Hotel in Leeds, a very old hotel, famous landmark, and it has a big square in front of it called City Square. And you could just stand and watch this incredible Christmas story 5 times a night for 9 nights, just while you were doing Christmas. Yeah. The Guardian featured it as one of their top 10 photos from around the world we did it. And you know what? We're bringing it back this Christmas, folks, but it'll be a different story.
I love that.
It's great. And it, I think, you know, the nicest things about that day were that people said to us, it's completely accessible, totally inclusive. It didn't matter who you were, where you were going, but going to the train station is behind the Queen. So going home from work or bringing the kids in after school to see it as a Christmas night out. And again, the nearly 300,000 people that we counted literally every time we played it. We had two guys in the control tower with the projectors who used the old ways and just had clickers, and they just literally surfed the heads. So 310,000 people over 9 nights stopped and watched that thing at some point, and then all went off shopping and buying things. And again, that's the bin doing its job. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that coming back. And we're doing it for 11 nights this year. So you can come from wherever you are.
I'm going to have to make sure I download it to lead to Christmas. So just to wrap things up, because it's been brilliant talking to you, I'm asking everybody on the podcast, and knowing your history with being a record promoter, I'm not sure where you're going to go with this one, but really come on, it's what's really your, what's the best band you've seen live?
2002, London Marquee, and actually not an EMI band, that's why I thought I'd do it, blag some tickets off a pal at Warner Brothers. I saw what was probably the first, because it wasn't a public gig, it was for the business, you know, the promo night, preview night. So I think it was the first British gig by Queens of the Stone Age, and or a band that I still very much like, and it was their famous Songs for the Deaf. On that, on the drums that night was Dave Grohl, who I had obviously met a few times since 93, 94, because he was in the Foo Fighters, and we did their first album. Foo Fighters. So Dave was there, and it was brilliant. It was totally, absolutely, phenomenally blow away and very, very loud. And I think I'm still probably deaf some 30 years later, 22 years later. But awesome, awesome. And it was that original. I think Songs for Deaf was their second or third album, but it was the one with the red cover that's got the devil's fork on it. And it was the one that blew them up, really. And everyone would know tunes from that album, even if you didn't know them by name. And because Dave Grohl was on drums on that, you know, that was a big thing. But yeah, that I have of all the gigs, and I studiously prepared for this because I really appreciate you just giving me the opportunity, David. I want to do my homework. I did sit down for about an hour the other night, and I'm not afraid to admit I'm a bit of a music geek. I do have a diary and I do have a note of every single gig that I've ever been to. But whether people believe it or not, it is 2,432 live bands I've seen. Yeah, because sometimes when I was working, you would be going 2 or 3 a week, not full-on gigs, but checking bands out, grubby little student clubs or, you know, underground venues to see if this band are any good. But yeah, 2,387, I think it was exactly. But that's the one I'd pick.
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous that you've hanged on Dave Grohl, to be fair. But no,
he was lovely. All I would say is he's what you'd imagine.
Seriously. Yeah.
If he walked into you now and had a chat, he's a really, really down-to-earth guy. Yeah, honestly.
Love it. Yeah. Absolutely love it. Mine, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
It is eye-opening to see
you. Well, I really appreciate it. Really appreciate you giving me the time. And honestly, it's not just what we do. I'm just really happy to tell the story because it's a story worth telling. And lots of people don't know about what bids do. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem, fella. Thanks a lot. And all right. I'll speak to you next time.
Take care. Bye.